Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Tuesday is Golden Oldie Day, so I'll be reading from a column first published in 2008 or 2009 today, Offbeat Oregon's first full year. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today I have a special treat for you. This is actually the article that started Offbeat Oregon History off. It wasn't the first article I wrote, but it was the one that made me think, you know, there's got to be more good stuff like this out there. This is the story of the exploding whale. And yes, it really is true. An inexperienced highway engineer guessed wrong about how much dynamite would be needed to rid the beach of 8 tons of rotting whale carcass, and the results were both stinky and expensive. The story was first published on July 2nd of 2009. Here we go. On Thursday, November 12th, 1970, an event happened that put the town of Florence on the map. A highway engineer, faced with the need to dispose of an 8-ton whale carcass which had washed up on the beach, tried to vaporize it with a half-ton of dynamite, with results that most people who knew about dynamite could have predicted and actually did. Walt Umenhofer sure saw it coming. He was a businessman who happened to be in town with his brand new car, an Oldsmobile 88 Regency, which he later told Springfield News reporter Ben Raymond Lode that he had bought days earlier at Dunham Oldsmobile in Eugene during a promotion taglined, really, I'm not kidding, this is true, get a whale of a deal on a new Oldsmobile. By the way, Umenhofer was in town on a secret mission to scout a potential location for a new Kingsford charcoal briquettes plant. Umenhofer worked for the Kingsford plant in Springfield at the time. To say that his cover got blown, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Now, Umenhofer had received explosives training during his World War II service, and what he saw on the beach that day made him very, very nervous. He knew project manager George Thornton was not going to get the results he wanted. He either needed a lot less dynamite so that the whale would just be pushed out to sea, or a whole lot more so that it would be torn into tiny pieces. Umenhofer told the Springfield paper he tried to warn Thornton but was blown off. Umenhofer shrugged and made a note to himself to be as far away from the whale as possible when it went off. Quote, "But the guy says, anyway, I'm going to have everyone on top of those dunes far away," Umenhofer told reporter Wayne Friedman of San Francisco TV station KGO in an interview 25 years later. "I says, yeah, I'm going to be the furthest SOB down that way." And so he was. But he couldn't know how personally Thornton's mistake was going to end up affecting him. The story was covered for KATU-2, one of the Portland TV stations, the ABC affiliate, by Paul Lindman, then a fresh-faced young fellow in his mid-20s. As one would expect given his young age, Lindman did make a minor error reporting the story, assuming that it was a California gray whale when it was actually a sperm whale, but in his book he more than makes up for it with one line which you'll find on page 77. Quote, "Explosions in the movies usually look like a blast of fire and smoke. This one more resembled a mighty burst of tomato juice." A mighty burst of tomato juice. That's painting a picture with words. Now, if you search for exploding whale on Google, you will find Lindman's story, about 2.5 minutes long. You'll see the whole thing, from the guys packing boxes of dynamite to the impressive explosion and the less impressive aftermath. You'll get to hear George Thornton, the highway engineer, say, and this is a direct quote, "Well, I'm confident that it'll work. The only thing is we're not sure how much explosives it'll take to disintegrate this thing." You'll also get to hear people on the beach watching the blast, yells of excitement turn to disgust, dull thumping sounds, and a woman saying, "Okay, Fred, you can take your hands out of your ears now. Here come pieces of, oh my." You'll also get to see Walt Umenhofer. Remember him, the guy who warned Thornton about his plan? Walt appears about 2 minutes into the video standing next to his brand new Oldsmobile. Its passenger compartment had been flattened by a chunk of flying blubber the size of a small truck tire. Lindman's story was, of course, snatched up by the network and played all over the country. 50-year-old retired Army ordnance guys all over the nation who learned how to blow stuff up during World War II wondered what the heck Thornton was thinking. 20 50-pound cases of dynamite sound like a lot, but in the context of 8 tons of untamped rotting meat, they dwindled to insignificance. And Thornton had actually said, on camera, to Lindman, that he wasn't sure how much dynamite he should be using. With the benefit of hindsight, it's pretty easy to wonder why he didn't pull someone who knew explosives into the project, even if that someone was a know-it-all stranger with a brand new Olds parked 450 yards away, a stranger like Walt Umenhofer, who got well away from the blast site himself but neglected to collect his car first. Umenhofer, who still lives in Springfield, now owns and operates the Baron's Den, a gun store and indoor shooting range just south of Eugene, visible from Interstate 5. It usually sports a bright blue banner reading, "Shoot a real Tommy gun." He tries to avoid talking about the exploding whale, mostly because he's sick of telling the story. In any case, the exploding whale, with the help of syndicated humor columnist Dave Barry, who had great fun with it, has become part of our nation's pop culture and has been mistaken for an urban legend many times. Many Florence residents were not pleased initially. They felt this was the wrong way to get one's hometown on the map. But today, 40 years later, even the crankiest among them chuckle about it, sometimes a bit wistfully. But not George Thornton, who was promoted to the Medford office 6 months later. A cynical observer might characterize this as being kicked upstairs. On the day of the blast, he told reporter Larry Bacon of the Eugene Register Guard that, quote, "It went just exactly right, except the blast funneled a hole in the sand under the whale," thereby causing some of the whale bits to be blown back toward the parking lot, he went on to say. Decades later, Thornton was still defiantly sanguine about the whole operation. Contacted by Lindman in the mid-1990s, he refused to be interviewed on camera and seemed to feel the news coverage of the event had converted a successful exercise into a disaster. The conversation ended on a sour note when Lindman asked Thornton if he didn't want to tell the public about it, about what had gone wrong that day. "What do you mean, what went wrong?" he asked Lindman tersely, apparently by way of implying that nothing had. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly column published in a dozen or two of Oregon's finer community newspapers, an RSS feed, a series of live history shows, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other social media components as well. Tumblr blog, YouTube channel, things like that. All of it is accessible through our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. Visual goodies and other resources that go with today's show can also be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources for this story, as well as more than 275 other Offbeat Oregon history columns written over the past 6 years since I've been doing these. Like this podcast, those columns are covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at www.atlasstringband.com. I do Offbeat Oregon History for fun and to learn things. I don't ever want it to become a chore for me, something to dread, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you do enjoy the podcast and you would like to support Offbeat Oregon, you might consider picking up a copy of my book. If you like this podcast, I can pretty much guarantee that you will enjoy the book. It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town. It was published in 2012 by The History Press, and you can pick up a copy at your neighborhood bookstore. It's also available as an audiobook download, narrated by yours truly, at audible.com. Finally, if you're ever in the neighborhood near Oregon State University, do drop me a line. Maybe we can go grab a cup of coffee in the library coffee shop and talk history, and I'll be happy to show you around OSU's impressive collection of Oregon history books. And by the way, if you're an Oregon resident, you can get a library card and book borrowing privileges there. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. That would be Wednesday morning, when we'll have something from 2010. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.